reading from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. Saul's conversion. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." This is the word of the Lord.
Second reading is a reading from the letter from Revelations, Revelations chapter 5. "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under earth, the earth and on the sea, and all that is in them saying, 'To who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.' The four living creatures said, 'Amen.' And the elders fell down and worshipped." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be.
Hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for there were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
This is the third resurrection appearance to his disciples. First two resurrection appearance to the disciples took place in a closed room in Jerusalem. The third appearance of our Lord Jesus to his disciples now taking place in the open place at the Sea of Tiberias. Sea of Tiberias, Sea of Galilee, both are same. Now let's not go into that. Now, John gives details. When it took place in the dawn, early morning. Where it took place in Galilee, at the seashore, at the side of the lake. How many were there? Seven disciples were there, including Simon Peter. How many fish they caught? 153 big fish. Who cooked their breakfast? The risen Lord, our Lord Jesus, cooked breakfast. What was the breakfast? Grilled fish and fresh baked bread. Why all these details? Why the gospel writer has to give all the details? He gives all these details because this is the eyewitness account. This is eyewitness account. That's the reason they are able to give all the details. We believe in the risen Lord because of the credible eyewitnesses accounts. We believe in the risen Lord because of the eyewitnesses. Now, Peter told his fellow disciples, "I am going fishing." So all six of them joined, so seven of them went for fishing. They came to their own hometown or home place, Galilee, because of the instruction given to them. So they came back to their own place. There they went fishing. Now, have they gone back from their calling? That's the question comes to us. Is it a problem that they went for fishing? Why did they go for? Why did they go fishing? They went fishing because they wanted to eat fresh fish. Probably they went fishing because this job comes naturally. They like this job. They went fishing because they wanted some money. So they went fishing. Is it a problem? Have they gone back from their faith? I don't think so. We shouldn't be saying that they have gone back from their faith. But the question to be asked is the risen Lord with them in this journey? They are now a new creation. They are now a new, they have started a new life. They have a new relationship with our Lord Jesus. He is the Lord. He is the God. Now they have started a new relationship. Have they taken instruction from Jesus before fishing? Have they taken Jesus with them in this fishing? That's the question to be asked. Have you checked with the Lord whether he's going to go with you in your journey? Have you, do you want to do it by yourself, or you want to do it with the risen Lord? The risen Lord is with you. You want to take him with you. The thing that you do, will it bring glory to God? Paul, in his writing to Corinthians, he says, so whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Because we are new creation, because we have started a new relationship with our Lord Jesus. He is wanting to go with you. He is with you. Are you ignoring him, or are you taking him along with you? That's the question we need to be answering. Have they taken the Lord Jesus with them? Whatever you do in your life, whether you are starting a new job, whether you are starting a new business, whether you are buying a house, whether you are buying a car, whether you are going for a family trip, is God with you? The risen Lord wants to be with you. Have you taken instruction from him? That's the question. They tried the whole night. They caught nothing. They tried all possible methods. They are expert fishermen. They were coming back tired, hungry, weary. As they were coming close to the shore, they saw a man standing, a stranger standing, according to them. And this man talked, "Children, do you have any fish?" They responded, "No." Now the stranger said, "Cast your net on the right side of the boat." What logic is this? Right side, left side? What logic? We don't know. The difference is that now the Lord is instructing. Now they are taking the instruction, and they put the net and they caught 153 large fish. In fact, you need the touch of God. You need the instruction of God. He is your Lord. He is your God. Take instruction from him. Your model of business is probably a failure one. Come, ask his instruction. You will do well. They mistook him as a stranger, probably a fellow fisherman, a fisherman who had gone before us and might have got a fish, and therefore he is advising us to go and put it on the right side. They might have thought that, but they mistook him as a stranger. The Lord, the risen Lord, was standing there, but they could not recognize him. Remember, the risen Lord is with us, but we mistake him, or we don't recognize him, or we ignore him. That's the thing that we all need to be answering. Are we ignoring him? Are we not taking his instruction? Are we not taking him along with us? Three such incidences we read in the Gospels. Mary Magdalene mistook him. The couple who traveled from Jerusalem to Emmaus, they mistook him. And now these seven disciples mistook him. When we look at all these three incidences, we have some lessons to learn very quickly. Mary Magdalene, why did she mistook him as a gardener? Why did she do that? Because she was looking for, the Lord among the dead. She came to see the dead body. She came with spices. She wanted to put some more spices on his body. She was looking for the Lord among the dead. And her eyes were filled with tears. And she saw the person standing there, our Lord Jesus standing there, but she mistook him because she was looking for a dead body. How can I expect a risen Lord among us if I'm looking for him among the dead? She was filled with sorrow, filled with pain, and how she is going to look at the risen Lord. The second, the couple who walked away from Jerusalem, very quickly, they were dull-minded. They were told that his tomb was empty. They were told that Jesus is risen. They should have put the pieces together to understand the entire story. The risen Lord, whom they mistook as co-traveler, he had to remind them the scriptures, make them understand the scriptures. And then when he broke the bread, their eyes opened. They were dull-minded. Enough instruction is given in his scriptures. We know the risen Lord is with us. With our experience, we see him at work in our lives. But we are not able to put the pieces together to understand the presence of our risen Lord. We are dull-minded. Thirdly, here, the seven disciples mistook Jesus as a stranger, probably because they were engrossed in their failure. We tried the entire night. We are tired. We are looking for success. We want to hear only one thing: how to catch fish. Tell me some new technique so that we will catch fish. We are facing failure, that's not going to give us any satisfaction. Only one thing that will give satisfaction is some kind of technique. Some technique we need. And that's what exactly they heard. Go and put it on the right side, that's enough. They went and they put. Are you looking Jesus among the dead? Are we dull-minded? Are we engrossed in our failure? Now they obeyed and they caught the fish. They realized John is the first who said it was our Lord. And the fellow disciples now, they know who the stranger was. No one is talking. By the time they came to the shore, the place was beautifully arranged. Everything is done by our Lord Jesus. He cleaned up the beach. He put the seating arrangement very nicely. He put the charcoal fire in the middle. And he baked fresh bread. He grilled already some fish. He asked the new fish, the newly caught fish also to be brought in. Everything is beautifully arranged. Jesus cooked breakfast for them. He didn't bring the breakfast from Yumbo. He cooked the breakfast. Someone made this observation. No offense intended to our women here. Bible has stories of men cooking. Abraham cooked meat for the three strangers. Jacob cooked stew. Esau cooked meat for his father Isaac. Jesus' parables, if you read some of his parables, you would see men cooking. Now, Jesus himself, a man, cooked breakfast. No complaints made. They all served. But when Martha cooked, she complained. She threw a tantrum. Now you know why men are good cook, and they don't complain. Now let's come back to this story. Jesus invited them for breakfast, and they came and they sat. Nobody talked. Imagine the scene. Jesus, the risen Lord, going to everyone individually and handing over the breakfast. He is serving them. They are not serving and helping Jesus in serving. They all seated around the charcoal. Jesus is going individually and handing over the food. Jesus did not make any kind of a complaint. He has got many complaints to make, but not at all. What are the complaints he has? These disciples, they ran away on the night when he was caught. You have been with me for 3.5 years, you ran away. Jesus could have made that complaint. He could have said to Peter, "Peter, you were emotional. You cut the ear of the servant Malchus. You took the path of violence." He could have complained. "Peter, you denied me 3 times. I had already warned you. In spite of my warning, you went ahead and denied me. I called you all to be the fisher of men. But without taking instruction from me, you went ahead for fishing." Just imagine, you are a team leader. You have team members, but you have achieved something great all by yourself, single-handedly. You have achieved something great. You are the team leader. And you have team members. All of them are underperformers. All of them don't take your instruction. How will you deal with your team leaders, team members? But Jesus, very beautifully handling. The one language that is spoken here is love language, no other language. Nobody is speaking. Jesus is serving them. The message is beautifully passed on. The love language. The disciples are getting the message. Jesus is not showing any kind of frustration or anger or anything of that sort. He is serving them with full of love. He is not even showing any kind of resentment. "How long I am going to try all that with you?" He is coming with only one thing, that is love. Full of love. He is not judgmental. He is not counting on your failures. He is not counting on your weakness, but he comes with love, full of care. Nothing is spoken, only action. F.B. Meyer said, "The love of God toward you is like the Amazon River following down to water a single daisy." You are the single daisy. And his love flows like a river to you. One father took his son to an open place and showed all the direction around him, all four directions. And he said to his son, God's love is seen in all four directions. You are in the middle. You are the only one whom God is loving. That's how God loves us. God loves us. Whatever we have done, he is not coming judgmentally. He is coming with love to restore us, to help us. How do you respond to his love? After the meal was over, Jesus is talking to Peter. This is an important question he asked. Now look at the scene. The charcoal fire is still in the middle. And Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me more than these? Now, why charcoal is important to us? Important to the gospel writer here. Peter denied Jesus around the charcoal fire. And now Jesus is asking him. The approach Jesus is having is fantastic. What is that? He is not wanting to hurt him. He is handling him gently, tenderly, lovingly, softly, and not giving him any kind of a fear. Very beautifully Jesus is handling him. Do you love me? Do you love me? Of course, three times Jesus asked this question. He did not want to inflict pain in him. Very softly he is dealing him. Of course, first two times Peter was very casual. In the third time, now Peter understood why third time this question is asked. So he was shaken. Now, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. In this passage, Jesus is restoring Peter. Jesus is also sending Peter out with the commission. Now he is commissioning Peter. You serve others. What Jesus is teaching Peter is very important. Peter, if you love me, you have to serve me. You have to serve others. Feed my sheep. But this work that you are going to do, this work is on the basis of the love that you have for me. This work that you are going to do is on the basis of the new relationship that you have with me. Not because you are a great leader. Not because you are a senior apostle. Not because you are the top among all the disciples. That's not the reason you are going to do my work. Not because you are going to be well paid that you are going to do this work. Not because you are intelligent, smart, very skillful. You are going to do this work all because the relationship that you have with me. The love relationship that we have, that you have with me. Now you have to put your name there. Peter, do you love me? Put your name there. Jesus is asking you, do you love me? I am providing you. I am taking care of you. I am continually giving you opportunity. And you are my beloved child. My love is there for you all the time. Do you love me? If you answer to this question, then he would say, feed my lamb, serve my people. I just want to finish with this quote. At the close of life, the question will not be how much you got, but how much you have given. Not how much have you won, but how much you have done. Not how much have you saved, but how much you have sacrificed. Not how much were you honored, but how much you have served. Three lessons. Number one lesson, Jesus, the risen Lord, is with us. Are we honoring his presence in your life? He is wanting to go with you, and he is your Lord, he is your God. He wants us to enjoy that relationship. Secondly, the risen Lord is continually providing us with his love. He is 153 fish they got on that day. He is continually providing us, taking care of us, feeding us with his love. He is continually loving us, not judging us. He wants to restore us. Thirdly, if you love him, serve him. May the dear Lord bless us all. Amen.